Arlington Cemetery, where it is said reverence and perfection meet. This past week, my ministry family and I took some time from our college and our school tours to go to Arlington Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia. We are always putting before our eyes the price paid for the freedom we, as a nation, enjoy. Arlington is the place where men and women in the hundreds of thousands who have made the ultimate sacrifice for you and me have been laid to rest. It is a place of remembrance of the price paid for the freedoms of every American. It is, without a shadow of a doubt, the most honorable place to be buried and the most sobering as well. It is the most hallowed of ground. It is a pantheon of heroes, a pantheon of tragedies, a place of civil worship, a place of honor to those that have paid the ultimate price, with their lives and with their blood, which sealed the idea of the Republic. Arlington is also a place that reminds us of those who are still willing to defend the idea of a constitutional republic. Look upon the tomb of the unknown soldier, you see the respect from the living for the dead. In guarding that tomb, the military honors the dead by teaching others to live for what they died for. Did you know that before the guards were privileged to guard the tomb of the unknown soldier, that they had to first pass a high-level stringent test? They had to receive the tomb badge. Details are so minute that the burning off of frayed edges with a lighter and an 8-hour shoe shine elevates uniform preparations to a realm somewhere between art form and obsession.
How many hours have you spent on your shoes?
I think just for this alone, I probably spent about 8 hours, sir, so.
Mistakes on the uniforms are called gigs, and any measurement that is off, any piece of lint that is on the uniform, well, it's called a gig.
A gig on the uniform is basically any mistake, any measurement that's off, any piece of lint that's left on his uniform. This button's crooked, that's a gig. His keeper's off at, you know, a 64th of an inch, that's a gig. His medals aren't shiny, that's a gig. So we're just kind of double-checking his hard work and making sure, you know, everything he has is ready to go.
The guard must make sure before guarding the tomb of the unknown that everything that he has is ready to go. Again, attention to details is incredible. To, again, be off 1/64th of an inch is too much. The reason for this level of perfection is that these soldiers represent 315 million Americans. They are declaring America's gratitude not only to those that have lost their lives and their identities, but also to those who serve our country today. One soldier said, "I think we have the right to expect as close to perfection as possible." Remember again, friends, the motto, where reverence and perfection meet. When walking out into the public eye, it's a very solemn and intense thing to do, said one soldier. It is amazing to look at the tomb. It is amazing stuff these individuals died for, our country, our freedom, and our liberties.
You'll see old veterans that come here to observe the changing of the guard. When they leave, they're teary-eyed.
Why? Because they know the price paid. They saw their brothers die, magnifying the laws of our constitutional republic against crime both here and abroad. They saw the blood that was shed on foreign battlefields to ratify the American Constitution. One soldier even said that getting prepared is rigid. He explained that you couldn't go back and do it all over again once you make your showing. He said that they have to do it right the very first time. And before they appear before the people, they go through a laser-eyed inspection. 50 different aspects of their uniform are inspected before they can guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. They also know that once they achieve the absolute perfection and acceptance of their superiors, that if they do not hold up the standard of what is expected of them, their names can be removed from the wall. After the guards do a little mirror time, they head out for the guarding of the tomb of the unknown. They remember that the public will be watching. The guards are tested on their posture, their timing, and how they will hold their weapons. The men see every aspect of guarding the tomb of the unknown as an offering. The tomb guard's product is military precision. They are a part of the honor guard, which is the full labor of love these soldiers bring to the tomb. It is their present, their gift. And once they pass the ultimate test, they are then entrusted with a task that they all see as a sacred honor, a duty that reflects the standard that the entire company...
Here we go.
At a meeting of the Council of Safety in Lebanon, Connecticut, near the close of 1776, when the prospects of our success to establish America as an independent nation looked dark, two members of the council were invited to the home of Mr. and Mrs. William Williams. Their names were Benjamin Huntington and William Hillhouse. The conversation turned upon the gloomy outlook. However, Mr. Hillhouse expressed hope and confidence. Mr. Williams stated, "If we fail, I know what my fate will be. I have done so much to prosecute the war, and one thing I have done which the British will never pardon, I have signed the Declaration of Independence, I shall be hanged." Mr. Hillhouse replied, "Well, if we fail, I shall be exempt from the gallows, for my name is not attached to the declaration, nor have I ever written against the British government." "Then, sir," said Mr. Williams, "that's why you should be hung."
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. I want to highlight some things here really quick before we get to the main topic. I always like to just kind of scatter seed throughout, but I'm telling you what, folks, there's a lot of good things happening right now, at least visually. Concerning judgment upon the heads of the guilty. They're now calling out the lieutenant governor, who's an absolute disgrace. It has no business being in office anywhere. Well, Flanagan is now being called into question and her responsibility and the consequences that need to fall upon her for her lack of duty, as they say. But it seems like judgment cometh, friends. It seems like everything's caving in over there at the state capitol. But one of the things is, you know, I just was kind of thinking about this before the show began. I wonder how many people are kind of turning around and saying, you know what, dude, you were right. Not a matter of me being right, but a matter of proving the point of God's word, that God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What I see coming from this capital is a bunch of individuals that have been compiled. By the way, they're finding out that George Soros is behind much of this, why he's not been indicted and brought to justice for an international war criminal in America should bewilder everybody. But I think the writing's on the wall there as well. But he's a part of the judgment, 9:16 and 17 of the book of Psalms. Read it when you get a moment. But what's interesting, folks, is all of that which is going on here, it shows you that all politics aimed at the church ends in self-destruction. What we've seen, these communists, these abominable ones, these reprobates, those that have done their best willfully to sear their conscience at every given step, at every given level, just to go ahead. It's like they got to the position that they wanted to get into because they've been installed, and they've done nothing but attack the system of who we are as a people. And it's absolutely amazing. It truly is. But there's a lot of good things going on here. I'll play some audio video for you. If you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do, because again, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but there's so much to share. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Also go over to BeforeIt'sNews.com. BeforeIt'sNews.com as well. Top left side of that page. If you want to call in at any time, I'd love to hear from you, pro or con. Jude 3 and 4. That number is 281-845-4704. Again, 281-845-4704. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. Now, let me just start here really quick, because what they're finding right now, friends, is the Maine governor's being busted for this pre-planned agenda. We're seeing the same thing happening in California. I talked about Ohio. I talked about Texas. We know it's happening in Florida as well. People need to understand that this was an agenda. This was and is pre-planned. There's no way anybody could have done this on their own. Read Isaiah 28, verse 18 when you get a moment. But let me go full circle and come back to the state of Minnesota. Remember just recently, right after all this came out, we seen these Somalians who mean to come here and conquer America. Isn't it interesting? After they were busted for their scandal in Nokomis daycare, the day after they were exposed, Luke 12:2, it's interesting to note that the first thing they came back with, in their ignorance, of course, remember, they're the stupidest people on the planet. That is not demeaning. That is a fact. Okay. And what's crazy about it is one of the individuals gets out and he's reading a script and he's talking about how somebody just broke into the daycare. Well, how convenient could that be, friends? And how convenient is that? But the problem they're having is nobody believed it, because the break-in that they're talking about happened within. I want you to check this out, folks. You can't make this up. I mean, you really cannot, but I want you to listen to the short report.
Just to be clear, that didn't happen. Like, the authorities have already
determined. I want to go ahead.
What happened here is absolutely unthinkable.
Okay, so what they do again is they get out there, they create the crimes, just like the sodomites do, just like the communists do, just like the Zionists do, friends. They create the crime, then they put themselves in the position of the victim. It's exactly what happened here, okay? So what they did is, right after it allegedly took place, the very next morning, they have a city official up there who happens to be a lesbian. Notice the pattern methodically once again. And it's interesting that right after it happened, she comes out and said, what happened here is disgusting. Well, it never happened, because this is what they're finding out.
Happened. Like, the authorities have already determined there was no break-in. Like, the daycare had this huge press conference and all the media showed up, and they just lined up liberal white woman after liberal white woman to go up there and talk about how awful it was, about how horrible it was that this daycare had a break-in. And then about an hour later, the authorities determined that didn't happen, because the sheetrock was cut from the inside and the cinder blocks were not destroyed enough that anybody could have got through. Not to mention that entire wall was an electrical wall, because there was a fucking breaker box right above.
Sorry about that, guys. I did not know he's going to be swearing like that. Forgive me on that one. Hopefully we caught that. But what he's showing here, friends, is the break-in took place from the inside out. What's also interesting to take note of is the guy that was giving the press conference, who was reading from a script. It's kind of not humorous, but it's kind of humorous that he's got these $2,400 pair of glasses on, reading glasses on, and they're talking about how the money hasn't been used for fraud. Now, again, keep in mind, this is just Minnesota right now, and this is happening nationwide. I want to share this with you really quick as well, concerning what is happening over in, you know, what's interesting is that one, the Maine one is the one I want to pull up really quick, because I want you to see what's happening in Maine, how the governor of that state is now being called out for the same exact crimes as Tim Walz was. Check this out.
Now listen, here are your top stories.
The governor of Maine is tied to a Somali NGO that is accused of a multi-million dollar fraud scheme and registering illegal migrants to vote. Gateway Community Services, GCS, founded by Somali migrant Abdullahi Ali, has been hit with serious fraud allegations, including billing for services never provided and falsifying records. Reports are popping up.
This is happening all over the country, people. There's not a better time for the American people to rise up and hold their said representatives by the scruff of the neck, literally.
Benefit enrollments, solidifying elections for Democrats. Maine taxpayers, meanwhile, are left footing the bill for what critics call a Democrat-enabled scheme to impact support and empower a dependent voting bloc.
Yeah, it's not just a voting bloc, folks. It is the judgment of the Lord by design, who is sovereign over all blessings and cursings, weal and woes. And so we just found out another governor's a part of this. I got video from California. I got video from video transpiring coming out of Ohio now. This has all been done by design, friends, to overthrow the Constitutional Republic. Don't doubt a word I'm telling you, friends. We'll be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi, this is R.W. Kruger. I've done sound, lighting, backline, and performed with Bradley Dean touring high schools across the country. How many times I've heard Bradley say things during these assemblies, and I thought it had nothing to do with what was happening during the time he was saying it. And now, 10 years later, it's exactly what we are dealing with. How does that work? Years of fighting the good fight with guidance from above. That is how he works. Support Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. They are tested, tried, and true.
Signer of the Declaration of Independence, John Hancock, rightly stated, "Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with the proper sense of your dependence on God. Nobly defend those rights which heaven gave, and no man ought to take from us."
BBSRadio.com.
Struggling to awaken the woke? Can't seem to cut through their brainwashing? Do you have friends and loved ones who fall in prey to the liberal leftist talking points? Perhaps someone deeply indoctrinated by communist college professors? Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that'll give you the ammo you need to make your point, with truth they can't deny. But warning, it may make them cry. Sign up now at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Oh my goodness, folks, it's just caving here in the state of Minnesota right now. New York Post just reported that Minnesota AG Keith Ellison, who's being real quiet right now, folks, these arrogant, pompous scoundrels are being reined in. Minnesota AG Keith Ellison has accepted campaign donations from individuals linked to $250 million COVID fraud scheme. This is now making its way to the front page of papers across the country. So you can see what's happening here, friends. This is all good news. Also wanted to highlight the fact that there's much talk of Amy Klobuchar coming in right behind Tim Walz. And she's just as bad, friends. I mean, these are two peas in a pod. They really are. But now she is under investigation, and it looks like a federal lawsuit has been filed against her as well for also partaking with this fraud in stealing money from the taxpayers for her reelection campaigns. This is, again, I just want to make sure that you all understand this is not an isolated incident. This is being found out now all over the country. I wonder if people are listening to me now when I said that they're installed.
Because what you're seeing through these governors attacking the states and the constituents throughout the United States of America, this is exactly what the CIA does in third world countries to destabilize. And it's what we're seeing here right now, friends, as we speak. I wanted to bring you over here as well. I want you to listen carefully because you can see the frantic attitude that this pedophile has, Tim Walz from Nebraska, who's been installed in the state of Minnesota. He's on his last leg. Now what's happening is the said representatives are calling not only for his resignation and to hold him accountable. Praise God. That's called impeachment and prosecution, which I've continuously given the answers on the show 1,000 times over, at least, literally. And not only that, friends, but now they're calling him to remove himself even now. I can't find in the Constitution where you look at the said representatives where they, you know, during their tenure from the beginning to the end of their 4-year tenures, that they have a right to go ahead and transgress law at will. No, just the exact opposite, because we never delegated that authority to them to do so. Okay. So I want you to hear this, friends, just to show you how serious this is getting in the state of Minnesota. He's done. Let's put it that way. He is done. I am rejoicing. The righteous rejoice when these things happen for the right reasons, because they understand much is being taught to the people, not only to the criminals that the people will not tolerate it, Proverbs 16:6, but also a mercy as a mercy to a society concerning their dependency upon the law that's supposed to condemn and to justify, Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. So there's a lot going on here, friends. But this, again, what we're seeing in the state of Minnesota is just the tip of the iceberg. And I want to reiterate this once again, people. This is not an isolated case. If this was just about Minnesota and it wasn't happening anywhere else in the country, I would be talking about different topics. But I just want to show you what in fact is happening. Right before the end of the last segment, I highlighted now the said governor of Maine who's been installed. She's being accused of the exact same things as Tim Walz is. And these are not allegations. Again, remember, people have been prosecuted. I believe that there's been at least 100 that have been prosecuted in the state of Minnesota. So these are not allegations. I don't know why they're playing semantics with the American people. It's gone. It's way past allegations, friends. It's way past allegations. Let's go ahead and listen to this. This is a confirmation of the Governor Walz, Tim Walz, the governor of the state of Minnesota. In the DHS, how it's been caught now fabricating the documents. No joke. Now caught fabricating the documents after this fraud was exposed. Listen to this.
And then talk about the implications of it. We noted that during the course of our audit, we identified a number of documents that the Behavioral Health Administration either backdated or created after our audit began in response to our request for information. We go on to say what the generally accepted government auditing standards are, which are to obtain sufficient appropriate evidence to provide a reasonable basis for supporting our findings and conclusions.
He's been caught and then we also fabricating state documents.
State that evidence is not sufficient or appropriate when using the evidence carries an unacceptably high risk that it could lead auditors to reach an incorrect or improper conclusion. Because we identified a number of different documents that, again, had been created in response to our request for documentation or that had actually been created and then backdated, we do have some questions about the validity of the documentation we were provided. Nevertheless, we, of course, move forward and we do have a lot of confidence, at least as a floor, in the findings and recommendations that we present in this report.
Okay, so he's been busted. Again, on top, folks, he's adding insult to injury. Again, you should see some of the press releases that are going on here. You see now he's been caught. He knows he's been caught. This is caving in on him. We now have said representatives coming out and basically saying that it goes a lot further than him resigning. They're talking about removal in consequence now. They're also taking Peggy Flanagan, whatever that is. And I'm not saying that to be demeaning in any sense of the word, folks. I'm not sure what it is. And this, whatever it is, pushes transgenderism
as they call it, more than I've ever seen. Read Deuteronomy 2:5. Also read Leviticus 18:22 and 23. I'm sorry, 18:22, and then also 20 and 13. Leviticus 20, verse 13, as well as Jude 1, 7, Romans 1, 26. Also go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 when you get a moment. Again, it's important that you read these because we premise everything here on the Word of God. And what we're seeing is the Lord bringing this to the light. Somebody just said online here, you know, if they're not prosecuted, they'll just go somewhere else and do the same thing. That's right. That's the importance of the people. We the people, the government in the United States of America, we are the government. These are our representatives who are acting outside of their scope of authority. They've never been given delegated authority to act in such a fashion. They're acting in a fashion that is foreign to we the people, and it's for the American people to stand up and grab every single one of these little pompous scoundrels by the scruff of the neck and hold them accountable for their crimes. And that seems to be the direction that they're taking in the state of Minnesota. A lot of these guys I would have never agreed with in a million years, but I'm glad to see they have a little bit of a backbone. And I believe the reason that we're seeing a little bit of a backbone is because the people in the state of Minnesota are actually standing up and demanding justice concerning the fraud that's taking place here in the state. This is candidate David Hahn. Let's listen to what he has to say as to what's going on here as well.
Question: if this was happening in their office under their watch, what was happening in the rest of government?
Exactly.
In the welfare programs that they were duty-bound to administer responsibly. It boils down to this. Peggy Flanagan was derelict in her duties as lieutenant governor and has no business in her current office.
Yep.
She should resign and not seek a job promotion.
Okay, so no, I don't know why the word impeachment is foreign to the said representatives. For him to suggest that she should resign is a slap in the face of the people of the state concerning those that are responsible for defrauding the taxpayers of up to $18 billion. I mean, it just shows you that these said politicians' friends no more know the Constitution. And then if you want to wonder why or sit back and wonder why they act in such a fashion that they do, is because they don't even know the documents that they swore to uphold. That's not a joke. I've seen that so many times across the country, and it's shameful. But it's the same thing in part what we're hearing here. But again, I want to go on the side of a positive note and saying what David's calling forth here is going the right direction.
When it comes to protecting taxpayers from fraud, at best, Walz and Flanagan have proven themselves to be incompetent. At worst, they've proven themselves complicit in either case.
That's right.
Neither of them are
complicit.
To be trusted on the matter, and they should both resign, get out of the way, and let competent successors take it from here. Minnesotans have had enough of the one-party DFL rule that we have seen in this state for more than a decade. While Peggy Flanagan might see outgoing Governor Tim Walz as the perfect patsy to take the blame for the missing $9 billion, Minnesotans are not falling for that tactic.
Yep. So in other words, the people of the state of Minnesota are rising up and demanding their said representatives. See, folks, this is what the politicians that I've had on the show, or representatives that I've had on the show, senators that I've had on the show, every single time I tell them to leave the people with their responsibility, and every single one of them said, the people have to get involved. The people have to get involved. The people have to get involved. Well, that's what's happening here in the state of Minnesota right now. So this is a perfect rollout of what happens when the people do stand up. And it goes back, and it proves the point that I was making the other day, friends, that the power is in the hands of the people. Let me say that again. The power is in the hands of the people. The law is on your side, okay? And when they break the law, this is what we do, okay? Again, folks, looks like things in the state of Minnesota are for the present going the right direction, and I'm pleased to see it. I'm actually, honestly, elated in heart that people are rising up in a lawful manner. I truly am. This needs to be also brought to the Supreme Court and to the city officials as well. They all need to be held accountable, every one of them.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So, don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. This proposed by Benjamin Franklin for the motto of the Great Seal of the United States. You say, what Great Seal? Well, Jefferson's edit of Franklin's design was recommended by the first committee for the reverse side of the Great Seal. Pharaoh sitting in an open chariot, a crown on his head and a sword in his hand, passing through the divided waters of the Red Sea in pursuit of the Israelites. Rays from a pillar of fire in the cloud, expressive of the divine presence and command, beaming on Moses who stands on the shore and extending his hand over the sea, causes it to overwhelm Pharaoh. Motto, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best red pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean, and we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Bill Pacey from Michigan. As a believer, I'm in constant battle to stay true to God's word instead of compromising to please the spirits that have infiltrated many churches today. That's why I turn to Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty radio show. They challenge me to stay anchored in God's word while standing firm on the principles our nation was founded on. Tune in Monday through Saturday at 2 o'clock p.m. Central for biblical truths. Visit sonsoflibertyradio.com to listen.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
You know, yesterday I was talking about, you know, what it is that our forefathers taught us, their posterity, me and you, over 250 years ago. In other words, what sort of example was given to us? And I took the time. As a matter of fact, if you go to Hebrews 13:7, it says we're supposed to follow those that have gone before us in the faith. And I laid your candor in question, you know, who ordained that power? That the hirelings are telling us that we're to submit to. The Lord has. And I also took the time, which is found in Romans 13:1. As a matter of fact, it says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained are of God. Okay, so the list goes on. But we keep hearing from the pulpits in America today that we're supposed to just let the Lord take care of everything. And, you know, in other words, friends, we're supposed to do nothing about the corrupt in the halls of government that are representing us.
and yet they work for us, but somehow or another, we're supposed to just let them be the little devils that they are, the little scoundrels that they are. Absolutely not. You're not going to find that in anybody's history, friends, because no country is going to survive that. A prime example is the Republic of Machiavelli. Friends, what happened to it? Because the people didn't hold their said representatives accountable to the laws of the Republic, which we are, Article 4, Section 4, their country is destroyed. Because the people didn't want to have a part to play in taking responsibility to uphold the law. And at the end of the day, what happened? It was destroyed. Well, yesterday I'd given you a quote from Patrick Henry. I went over to Exodus 5 where Moses confronted Pharaoh, the meekest man alive. I went over to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. I went over to Daniel. I showed you what happened to those that went and opposed Daniel, his persecutors. Everything they meant to happen to him happened to them after he withstood the trial. As they say, those that bring the fire must endure the flame. Daniel was one of those guys, no question about it. We highlighted the fact that Elijah, the lone prophet, was confronted by the wicked king, and the king called him the troubler of Israel. And of course, in common sense comes into play here, but in his mindset, understanding the word of God, Elijah says back to him, I'm not the troubler. You're the one that has forgotten your father's commandments. And it's exactly what we're seeing in America today. And then we took it over to Luke 3:19, where John the Baptist, the greatest prophet born of woman, who called out the evils of Herod, in which all he had done. And again, where the American people, namely those that profess to be Christians, are derelict when it comes to this duty just blows me away, especially in such a country as ours. I even took the time to go over to Acts 12, where Peter was thrown in prison. Notice in Scripture, friends, for those that didn't know, here's a little piece of information you might not know, but you'll never find prison in Scripture. And the only prison that you do find, or ward that you do find, friends, is a holding cell for justice. Or if you see prison, keep in mind, that is a corrupt system creating a prison system. If you look at the statutes of the Lord, there was always a quick reflex to disobedience. There was always some sort of direct recompense for injustices that were committed by the people, which is found in the Torah, and they're called statutes. Well, we have the same thing here. I know people have been accustomed to the fact that now if you commit a crime, a heinous crime, a capital crime, you get to sit in prison for 2 years before you're brought to justice, and the justice they get, friends, is rehabilitation so they can be let out 3 years later to do it all over again. And if you think that's a joke, you have a 74% recidivism rate in this country. It's not a joke. And so anyways, I brought you over to Acts 12, where Peter was apprehended by the king, namely King Herod, a corrupt king of his province, and he was thrown in jail for preaching Christ crucified. And it's interesting, you'll never hear from the pulpits in America today, at least from the hirelings, that is, the story of Peter being released from prison by an angel that the Lord had sent to break him out of prison. The Bible says, and behold, that means look and see, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying to him, this is what the angel of the Lord said to Peter in Herod's prison. He said, rise up quickly, and his chains fell from off of his hands. Well, some will say, well, Bradley, that's great. Although I never heard that, and boy, oh boy, not only did you pull every rug, I'm having a hard time even standing on this next point I want to make. What about Jesus? Well, what about Jesus? Luke 13:32. Well, by the way, what about the cross? What was that all about? That was a demonstration of God's hatred towards sin and his love towards man, right? Concerning those that he meant to redeem and did redeem and will redeem and does redeem, okay? But if you look at Luke 13:32, if you remember right, the Herodians and the Pharisees came up to Jesus and told him to get out of there, else Herod's going to kill you. And what did Jesus say to him? Did he run like a little capitulating pansy like you're taught from the pulpits in America today? Absolutely not. What did he say? He said, go tell that fox. No. He didn't say, you know what, could you just go kindly ask him to just give me a pass? I'm not bothering anybody at all. Is that what Jesus said? Nope, not at all. He said, go tell that fox. He said, "Behold, I cast out devils and I do cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected." He was talking about his crucifixion, the passion of the Christ. Okay. And why is it that people are so blind to this topic is because they have a mischaracterization of who Christ is. And I said, is. He's alive forevermore. He sits at the right hand of my heavenly Father even now. The devil knows it, and so does his minions. Matter of fact, we're seeing a prime example of the mercy of God right now by exposing this crime that's going on in this country right now concerning Muslim infiltration, where they mean to come into America and conquer. Look what's going on in New York, friends. It's escalating. That Zohran Mamdani, he needs to be removed. He should have never been put in place in the first place. Why? Because he has no constitutional right to be there. Okay? Look what he's doing. 20 years later, friends, just was it 24 years later, he has the city of New York lit up in commemoration of the Muslims. And I'm only reiterating that point because that's what we've been told by the mainstream media. That's who is responsible, right, for the two buildings falling down on September 11th or coming down. I mean, it's just insane what's going on here. But again, it's not a joke, is it? But so let me go back to this. And why are we here today? Because, again, as I said, the mischaracterization of who Jesus Christ is. It tells us in Matthew 7:29, it says that Jesus taught them as having one that has authority and not as the scribes, the doctors of the law. Boy, that's a far cry from what we see in the pulpits today, isn't it? If you'd like to call in, 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. I would love for somebody's spiritual overseer, as they call themselves, I would love for someone to call in and contend on this. You know why you never hear those phone calls, friends? And I've been giving them the option for 25 years on radio. You know why you never hear it? Because it's not scriptural the way that they portray Christ. That's why. Jesus taught them as having one that had authority. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in John 7:26, "Lo, he speaketh boldly." You know what boldly means? That means forward to danger. Read Proverbs 28:1 when you get a moment as well. "And they say nothing unto him." They said nothing to Jesus. Now what do you see? You see people in this country rise up and mock the said church overseers of America. And what do you see those church overseers do? You see them tuck tail and capitulate. Is that what Jesus did? Nope. He had the opportunity. He even had the opportunity to call down the legions of angels to take care of business on his behalf. But Jesus, being the man that he was incarnate during his time on earth, he knew that he wanted and he was purposed to do the will of the Father and not his own. And he sought the Lord three times on that issue alone. Again, so how do we ally this with what we see today? "He speaketh boldly and they say nothing unto him." Is that what you see in the pulpits of America today? Not at all. Just the opposite. Just the exact opposite. What about the characteristics of Jesus in, for example, Matthew 21, verse 12? It's important that you hear this, people, because many of you people are turned off by Christianity. I'm telling you what, if you're turned off by Christianity, that does not exempt your position from knowing for yourself. If you see hypocrisy within what they call the body of Christ in America, if you see their hypocrisy, then you have a responsibility to right the wrongs. And I would ask one question to those that say that they're just completely turned off by Christianity. Why is it that you see it? Why is it that you see their hypocrisy? And if you see their hypocrisy, why haven't you taken responsibility to right the wrongs? Because that's what we're called to do. That's not an excuse for you to do nothing. No, that's a revelation for you to do something. People, you have to think. Okay? And the best way to right the wrongs in the body of Christ in America today is to set the record straight. Get out there and set the record straight. Isaiah 58, verse 12. Let me go back over to Matthew 21, verse 12 real quick. Just tell me, is this Is this what we see today in America? Do you ever hear this story of Jesus going into the temple? Here it goes. Matthew 21, verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. No. You see what Jesus did inside of the temple, the people that were setting up those temples, that's what you see being promoted through the airwaves, through television today. Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, all these prosperity preachers. Hey, folks, if Jesus was really in there, rest assured what he would be doing through his obedient servants. He'd be overthrowing their tables too. But is that what we see? Nope. Now, let me also add to this before this hard break. Romans 12:21 says that church, Christians, we are to overcome evil. Okay, we're not to overcome of evil, but we're to overcome evil by being good. Okay, we'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.com. The TV is my shepherd, I shall not want. It makes me to lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from the faith, and it destroys my soul. It leads me in the paths of sex and violence for the sponsor's sake. Yeah, though I walk in the shadow of Christian responsibilities, there will be no interruptions, for the TV is with me. Its cable and its remote control, they comfort me. It prepares a commercial before me in the presence of my worldliness. It anoints my head with humanism and consumerism. My coveting runneth over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of watching TV forever. Now we can understand where Harry S. Truman got his understanding from when he said, "The fundamental basis of this nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings which we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul."
This is Richard Mast, attorney with Liberty Counsel. Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty Radio are on the front lines of our culture war, and I am proud to call them brothers in arms. What America needs now is more people telling the truth, regardless of the cost. Bradley is one of those people.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Uh, 281-845-4704. Just wanted to let everybody know I got the brand new book out called Face Off, and it is the characteristics of the prophet, the function of the prophet, and the history of the prophet, and what we see of the prophet today in the present, which you see very little of, because they've been ostracized and rejected by those that call themselves Christians. That's insanity, but it is there, friends. And again, remember, the giftings of the Spirit are put in place that we might not serve dumb idols, or that we would not be led astray. And they're denying those gifts, and that's why they're led astray.
You know, as Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, he said, let the blind lead the blind. They're all going to end up in the ditch, and that's exactly where they're at. So I want to put this to your candor again, and I just want to lay this out in bringing forth this to a consummation before the end of the show here. But I was just talking about the church, Americans, 86% of you. The Lord said, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How anybody creates a doctrine to excuse themselves or to exempt themselves from the Lord's commandments upon them to right the wrongs, it bewilders me. Some will say, well, we're going to be raptured from the war. No. Unscriptural. That's heresy. I want to tell you this. Read 17:15 of John. Jesus said, I pray, Lord, that you take them not out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. And don't sit there and tell me about how we know when things are happening. Jesus didn't even know. Read Matthew 24:36 when you get a moment. Hey, folks, we're not going to be raptured from the war. We as Christians are called to the war. That's why we're called to put on the armor in Ephesians 6:12. We're called to the war, not from the war. That's how backwards it has become in this country. But again, the church is called to do what? Not to be overcome of evil, but to overcome evil with good. You guys have all heard that saying, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit, so I'll just hold up. But I want to make the next point. When you look at 1 Peter 2:14, listen to me carefully, my friends. What does it say? Or unto the governors, those that have been appointed. They're called magistrates. Read Romans 13. That's biblical vernacular. You found in the Constitution, right? It says, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him. Sent by who? Who sent the magistrate? Who sent the governors? The Lord sent them for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. That's in 1 Peter 2:14. Excuse me. I don't understand how it can't be any more clear than what we're talking about here. You know how the devil likes to mock the things of Christ? You know, where he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, what is he doing, friends? He's mocking Christ. What is he doing? He's trying to emulate Christ. The Bible says, as a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. But Revelation 5:5 tells us he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Who? Jesus is. But again, what happens? You go inside of a church today, you see these pictures of Jesus defeated, you know, just effeminate looking, sick looking, repulsive. I don't want anything to do with that. Well, listen, friends, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? That's just another deterrent. Isn't it interesting how Hollywood loves to portray Christians as the weaklings? Well, do you want me to give you a little scripture to counter that measure as well? It tells us in Luke 10:19 that he's given unto us all power, the church, over all the works of the enemy. He's a defeated foe. We're called to be witnesses of the resurrection. That's the gift of prophecy, Revelation 12:10. What does that mean? That means he's afraid of the resurrection power because he has no power or authority over it. That's why Jesus said this comes forth by fasting and prayer to cast out devils, to heal the sick, so on and so forth. See, people don't want to discipline themselves to know who the Christ is. That's why they have no interaction with him. There's no intimacy between you and him because you're not yielded to him. But again, we're talking about something different here. Do you remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? What did he say? He said, some men say that you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. This is what his apostles said of Jesus when Jesus asked. Some say you're Elijah. Notice who they're equating Jesus to. Elijah. Whoa, never thought about that before. Right, because you haven't read the word yet. And then others said, his apostles said to Jesus when he said, who do men say that I am? Some say Jeremiah. Isn't that interesting that Jeremiah was the one that was called to tear down, right, and to build upon? He was the one that was called to face off with what? The said kings during that particular time and the high priest of that particular time. And they didn't listen to him. Hence, a book of Lamentations was written. But that's who they equated Jesus to. And then Jesus said after that, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son
of the living God. Here, I want to give you one more in Matthew 8:27. I want you to just consider this and contemplate this for a moment. This is my big brother, the captain of my salvation, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the great I am, my king. His name is Jesus. Isn't it interesting when the storm came down on Galilee, was there, have the hat, have the t-shirt. Interestingly enough, what happened? The disciples freaked out. They went to the back of the boat where Jesus was sleeping on a pillow. He rose up in the Bible tells us in Matthew 8:27, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? Wow. That's who we serve? Oh, yeah. That's who we serve. That even the winds and the seas obey him. And in his presence, because he's the resurrection and the life, even the dead will be blown out of their graves. Just ask in John 11, none other than Lazarus, who was dead 4 days stinking. We got our friend John calling in from the southernmost part of the United States. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. What say you, my friend?
Well, Bradley, just like with mechanical devices that I try to tell people how to fix, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And, a little time will go by, and then, you know, they've gone through all of the commotions about this, that, and the other, and then they go after their lives are destroyed or whatever, or their vehicle doesn't work or whatever, and they say, I should have listened to you. It's like, well, it's too late, you know. I mean, I heard a long time ago some man say that Bible is a acronym. It means basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Amen. Amen.
And you are fighting a uphill battle with all of these people every day. And thank you, brother. I just want to say thank you, brother.
I appreciate that, guy. And let me tell you, I feel it. I know it. It's okay. You know, I had a guy one time say to me, he said, you know, it's Bradley, it's him against the world. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? That's exactly right. It is us against the world. And the question is who's going to win? Because we have the power concerning prayer between us and our Father going to the throne of grace in the time of need, where he pulls the lever and turns it whithersoever he wills on the behalf of his saints. If all of those that profess to be Christians on this earth, even now, were genuine Christians, do you think that we would be worried about 300 men who are out of hand? And furthermore, for those that are in that position and are Christians, we notice the real ones, the very far and few between, though they are across this earth in which we all live, they're willing to stand up against the 300 because they trust that their God is bigger than all of those in the world, just like King David did in the book of Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. You know, I want to say this in ending. Man, I want you to listen carefully to me because I want to build people up as well. Tear them down, build them up. Tear them down, build them up. That's just how it works. And sow seed. I can scatter seed. If the seed lands in the right place, it's for the Lord to water it in the first place. It's for him to sow the seed in the first place, but he needs a vessel in the process. So I'm honored to be a part of that. But I want to say this. You've all heard evil prevails because good men do nothing. You guys have all heard that. Edmund Burke. I respect the man. Fantastic. He was. And he should be honored. And I'm not by any means demeaning him because it could be a situation where we had to be there to understand the context in the way he was saying it and meaning it. But I'm going to take it the way that we see it now in our time. Evil prevails because good men do nothing. I'm here to tell you all that nothing could be further from the truth. Evil prevails because good men do nothing. Not even close. Why? Because good men do not allow evil to prevail. So don't sit there and call yourself a good man or a good woman as you stand back and watch the evil prevail. That doesn't define good. It defines wicked. And what is wicked defined out as concerning those that the Lord is talking to in Webster's 1828? Those that know to do right, but do it not. So I thank you, John. I truly, sincerely do. And I know that we are up against a lot. I really do. But I also trust that the Lord is the creator of all things, that he is the governor of the nations, that he sits on his throne and the earth is his footstool. And he's given us all power to do the right thing in the process.
of the time that's been allotted here for us. So, again, thank you, John. Totally appreciate that. Love you guys by what we do, First Down 318. And we will talk to you in 23 hours. Okay? Have a good night. See ya.